back here. Welcome back to my podcast. Today, I'm going to be continuing the book, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, Part 3. So, Percy's team had won capture the flag. They were Team Blue, if you didn't know. And then, the unexpected happened. Because of Percy's win, well, the best was yet to come. Well, sorry, I mean the worst was yet to come. Same mistake Annabeth made. She was talking to Percy and she heard a little bit of gurgling in the water in the lake that Percy was throwing pebbles in. And then she said to Percy that the best is yet to come. Percy got confused because usually the wording is the worst is yet to come. Well, Annabeth said that she needs to go to her cabin to work on something. She was acting like she was a little bit scared about something that was going to happen. But the only weird thing was that she didn't actually go to the cabin. She went to talk with Chiron. Well, while Percy was just waiting there, he noticed something. You know the rocks, like the ones which made a little circle around the place where Percy was supposed to be standing and the place where she tripped over? Well, he was just walking around that and he noticed that some of the rocks were now missing. That must have been because, well, Capture the Flag has been a really famous game for all Half-Bloods. But then, the worst game. Or maybe it was the worst. Anyways, remember Annabeth was kind of like scared of the gurgling in the water, like the bubbles popping out and all? When Percy looked back to the lake wasn't the only thing there. Neither were there only lily pads, flowers, but there was a ginormous monster. It was like a giant dog, but it didn't have like a leash or anything, and it attacked Percy. Everyone was just looking at him and no one said a word. But when Annabeth found out that there was a hellhound, that was the ginormous dog that attacked Percy, she yelled, "Percy, run!" And well, Percy didn't question it. He ran, all right. But, well, you guessed it. He tripped over that little circle thing made of rocks. Why does that have to happen? The hellhound was almost at Percy's throat. Well, it didn't really land on him yet. That's why Chiron said, "Percy, catch!" And remember that pen he clicked and Percy used that to slay Mrs. Dodds at the museum? Well, the same pen Chiron had clicked and threw to Percy. And yes, it did turn into a sword. The really cool bronze and silver type. Well, the sword's details aren't what matters. Percy caught it and slayed the hellhound. And it landed dead at his feet. Remember I told you that the people from the Ares cabin are like the daughters and sons of the god of war? Well, they just ran away into the cabin while all that hellhound stuff was happening. Then Chiron came up to Percy with Annabeth and said, "I think you're gonna need a quest." I mean, a quest? What even is that? Well, that's what Percy was thinking. Grover ran up to Percy and helped him get up. He was his best friend after all. And then he said, "Oh, if it was me over there trying to defeat that hellhound, I would have yelled for your help." And he also said that next time I'm going to have trouble with a hellhound, I'm also going to yell for your help. Then Percy asked the same question that I asked to you. What's a quest? And what do you mean that I'm offered a quest? Chiron said that your father is in a little bit of trouble. And you need a quest because Zeus, the god of lightning, is, well, blaming your father for stealing his lightning bolt. Percy asked, what's a lightning bolt? And is it like those types which just come in the sky? Zeus is the god of sky, right? What about his lightning bolt? I mean, I can find a lightning bolt. Chiron said that not those types of lightning bolts. Well, this lightning bolt is special. You can hold it and it doesn't burn your hands. Well, it doesn't burn God's hands. no human nor has a half-blood ever touched it. Or a satyr, nymph, you get the picture, has never really held it. But that's not the point. Zeus is blaming your father, but we are pretty sure that the actual one who stole it is Hades, right? Chiron was confused with his thoughts. But yes, Hades, who was the god of death, was the one who they thought had stolen the lightning bolt. Percy thought, why do they need me? Just because he's my father? Just because Poseidon thinks that, oh, Percy's been living alone at Camp Half-Blood for quite a while now. He's been living alone in his cabin for quite a while now. Why don't he come and try to save my picture and name? Percy was mad at his father because, first of all, he never knew that he had a father. Second of all, why, like, every time a child gets, you know, picked and chosen by their parents, that this is my child, she has to go in this cabin, she has to go in this cabin, they usually either come or they do the thing that they did to Percy. Why couldn't Poseidon come? I mean, he's the big three. Percy was very mad at his father, but he accepted the quest. He's gonna tell you why later on. But Chiron said that you can't go alone. And also, you only have 10 days to complete this quest. Percy had a lot of questions, and they weren't about his father. Nor were they about his mother, who was the actual reason he was going. They were about where he's going to find Hades and why he only has 10 days. Well, Chiron explained all that because it was like he read his mind. Chiron said that you have to find Hades in the underworld. And also, you only have 10 days because the summer solstice is in 10 days. And that means if the summer solstice happens and Zeus doesn't have his lightning bolt, war could happen. Yes, that's right, war. But it's different war. It's not like the wars which happen between countries like Russia and Ukraine. It's about wars which happen between gods. And that could mean serious injuries. Not even to half-bloods, to actual humans, to muggles, to mortals. Why does everything start with an M? Percy said that he accepted the quest. But then Chiron said that he needs someone else to go with him. Actually, two other people. So he brought him to the hill. The hill. That's it. It's just called the hill. And Grover was in like the trees of the hill. And he rushed out and said, Percy, I'm one of the people who's joining your quest. But then Percy said, that's only two people. That too, one half-blood and a satyr. Aren't the rules of a quest that there have to be two half-bloods? And maybe another one? Or there could be a satyr or a nymph. Chiron said, yes, but we already have another half-blood for you. Go and get your good night's sleep. Tomorrow, you are going off to, well, find the underworld, defeat Hades, get Zeus's lightning bolt and clear your father's name. Percy said, wait, Chiron. Who's the other half-blood who's coming with me? And then, well, she walked out. By the words which I said, half-blood and she, you probably know who it was. It was Annabeth. But let me tell you a little backstory. Annabeth is supposed to hate Percy. That's because her mother and Percy's father are enemies. Why? Well, here's another backstory. Percy's father is Poseidon. And, well, Annabeth's is Athena. Athena is the goddess of wisdom. And she, well, hated Poseidon. Because, first of all, she was supposed to be his girlfriend, but another woman named Medusa just came in the way. Like, how cruel is that? And Poseidon accepted her. Well, yeah, a little bit cruel. But there are more stories. Too many, I can't number them or tell them all to you. So, you're gonna have to research that one out. So, if Annabelle is supposed to hate Percy, why is she going on a quest which is literally with Percy Jackson? Well, the answer is gonna come soon. Because Annabeth didn't tell Percy that. Percy didn't even know that she's supposed to hate him. I mean, imagine, you meet a girl and you discover that you're a half-blood. And then why would you even think that that girl is not supposed to, you know, like you? That's just weird. So then, well, Percy and Grover and Annabeth went on their quest to save Poseidon's name. But Percy wasn't going for his father. He didn't care about his father. Just like how he thought that his father didn't care about him. He was going for his mother. Remember, his mother died? Well, Hades is the god of death. So he thought that maybe Hades will be able to bring back his mother. But maybe the answer could have been no. Anyways, they all got their good night's sleep. But before going, Annabeth and Grover had went for their amazing night's sleep. But Percy stayed because Chiron said that, remember the pens that I gave to you? Well, it was the same pen. But the one to slay Mrs. Dodds and that hellhound? Percy said, yeah, what was that thing? Because, now the thing is that Percy was so, petrified after he had met Mrs. Dodds. So he didn't really care about asking Chiron what that pen was about. But then just now, 2 minutes ago, or maybe 2 hours ago, I don't know how long it had been, Percy had slayed a hellhound with the exact same pen. What is that thing? Now he thought. Chiron said, that is Riptide. Percy said, that? Chiron blundered and said that, sorry, this is Riptide. And he pulled out the pen. Percy asked, what? That's a pen, not a sword. Not anything that's bronze and silver. Chiron said, no, sorry, this is a pen. Then he uncapped the pen and said, this is Riptide. Percy was so confused because he just uncapped a pen. It was still a pen, just without the cap. Chiron said, oh no, that's a different pen. He emptied his pockets and finally found the pen and said, and uncapped it, and it had become a bronze sword. And then he could say, this is Riptide. Percy said, whoa, that's so cool. And he asked, but, I can't be carrying a sword around mortals. That's why Chiron said, that's why it has a disguise as a pen. He touched the cap to the edge of the sword, like the tip of the sword, and it has become a pen again. Then Percy said, but I'm really famous for losing pens. I don't think I'm going to be able to keep that. Chiron said that, oh, if you ever lose it, then it's just going to reappear again into your pocket. Percy said, really? Yeah, Chiron said. And he gave Percy the pen. He said, throw it into the forest over there. Percy threw it into the forest. And by threw, I mean chucked it a dunk into the basketball hoop. And like Chiron said, the pen appeared again into his pocket. Percy thought that this was magic, but he forgot one thing. His father's a god. He went and got his good night's sleep, and The next day, he was ready for his quest. Annabeth and Grover were too. And well, right before they were leaving, Luke came to them and said, "Here, take these shoes. They'll help you fly." It was like a gift. Percy said, "Thanks. And don't worry, I'll be back to give them back to you." Because he knew that he wasn't gonna die. That's not what happened. He was definitely gonna die, wasn't he? Well, that's what he thought. Then Percy, Annabeth, and Grover started venturing through the forest. I mean, how dumb is that? Obviously, Chiron was gonna give them a ride, right? Well, no, he wasn't really. They came back once Chiron has blown a whistle, and then they got to know that they actually had to go by bus. To where? Who knows? Well, they got on the bus and they went right to the back. Then, while the bus was moving, guess what happened? No, Percy didn't trip over the little circle again. He wasn't standing up. Furies stopped the bus. What were Furies? Well, remember Mrs. Dodds? Remember that Grover said that she's a Fury and then said nothing else? Well, now Grover and Annabeth had a little bit more explaining to do. The Furies had stopped the bus and Mrs. Dodds was one of them. She was like the bat thing who had attacked Percy last time in the museum. But she wasn't alone. She had two sisters. And those two sisters were nothing less or more than her. But they weren't aggressive. They weren't as aggressive as they could be. Percy slipped out of the back seat. And he told Annabeth and Grover to come. But Annabeth and Grover said, "This is your quest, not ours. And we're not letting them catch you. We're gonna lure them to you," Annabeth and Grover said. Then, when the Furies had reached them, they saw that Percy wasn't there. But they recognized Grover and yelled, "Where is it? Where is it?" It? Annabeth and Grover didn't understand. But then Percy quickly yelled, "Run!" and set the bus on fire. I mean, who does that? But don't worry, when the Furies had stopped the bus, everyone had run out. So no one else was in the bus except them three. Then, well, Annabeth and Grover had slipped out and ran towards Percy. Percy uncapped Riptide and slayed Mrs. Dodds and her two sisters. Well, he slayed off their heads. But hey, he still slayed them. And well, the thing about Furies is that they don't die for good. No monsters do. No monsters die for good. They regenerate. But the good thing about that is it's not like they will always regenerate in one day. They'll always regenerate in 1 month. They might regenerate then and now. But if you're really, really lucky, they can regenerate in years, decades, or even centuries. But they never age, means they never grow. Annabeth, Grover, and Percy ran and ran and ran until they were literally out of the city. They were lost. That's right, they were lost. Who gets lost in the city? Except if you're a 5-year-old kid who went shopping to the mall. Well, they were in like a forest, a damp place in the forest. And they reached the Garden Gnome Emporium or something like that. It was like a place which had everything they needed. Money, some food, clothes. Not that they didn't have clothes, but all of the bags that they had. In the bags, there were a lot of things. There were clothes, there were toothbrushes, there was money as well. But luckily, Annabeth had a little like wallet type of thing. But it didn't have much. There was like something like in Harry Potter, there are sickles and nuts and galleons. And there's also a name for the Percy Jackson currency or the half-blood currency. But I don't really recall it. So they had a bunch of golden coins. And well, in the Gnome Garden Emporium or the Garden Gnome Emporium, there was a little bit more. And the girl, the lady who was there was very nice. She let them in. And she said that her name was Auntie M. But Annabeth, well, Medusa Auntie M was a monster. Her actual name was Medusa. And Annabeth would have recognized her. But she was veiled. A veil is like those little things that you put over their face so no one would recognize you. And that's what Medusa Auntie M was doing. She wore a veil over her face. But she didn't know that someone who visited would recognize her. That wasn't the reason she wore a veil. It was because for another reason. She looked kind of like she was blind, but and she wore these like kind of sunglasses, which would like make sure that you don't see anything, like it's pitch black. Well, that's what Percy had thought she was wearing. She wasn't wearing those. She could see stuff. So Auntie M led Percy, Annabeth and Grover into her shop and let themselves serve themselves with cheeseburgers, french fries and a little bit of ketchup for the side. They ate all right. But Annabeth wasn't so hungry. Not like the boys. She was more focused on Auntie M. And also everywhere around them, she had seen some like statues everywhere. Like, that's weird. But then, when they had reached the garden, Auntie M was like, she insisted that I have to show you the garden. And when they visited the garden, Grover sat on a bench and what happened was weird. Because he looked at one of the statues and he recognized them. He said, "Is that Uncle Fredario?" Well, that was his uncle's name. Fredario? "Is that Uncle Fredario? What is he doing here? That's definitely him." Then Medusa took off her veil. And Annabeth yelled, "Close your eyes." Close your eyes? I mean, what? Because Annabeth had then recognized her. And, well, not only did she take off her glasses and her veil, but that didn't only show her eyes and, well, the rest of her face, but also her hair. Now, you're probably thinking, hair? That's normal. Like, hair is like hair. Who cares about the hair? And you're thinking, oh, there's probably a twist to it. Let me guess. Medusa didn't have long hair. She had hair like a boy would have hair. But no, that wasn't the twist to it. The actual twist to it was that her hair wasn't made of hair. It was made of snakes. Snakes? What? Snakes? The hair was made of snakes. Like, each braid of hair was a snake. And not like thin snakes, big snakes. But I'm pretty sure they weren't the type which bite. Everyone had closed their eyes. And, well, Medusa said, "Ah, Percy Jackson, I've been waiting for you. You'll be the perfect one to complete my collection." But then when she turned to Annabeth, well, Medusa liked Percy. Because remember that at the start, before they started their quest, Annabeth had said, "I'm not supposed to like you. Because your father was girlfriends with Medusa. and he was supposed to be with my mother. And he cut her down. Medusa. Medusa, that's who they were with. Medusa liked Percy because he was the son of Poseidon. But when she turned to Annabeth, she didn't like her. She had different plans for her. Not to turn her into stone to keep for her collection, but to kill her because she was the daughter of Athena. She, instead of looking at Percy, went to her and said, "Open your eyes, dearie. It's not going to hurt. Well, until I smash you into pieces, no." What she was thinking was that she would turn her into stone with her eyes and then destroy the stone statue. She definitely didn't like Annabeth. Annabeth was closing her eyes, but she wasn't scared about herself. She was scared for Percy and Grover. And once she knew that Medusa was looking at her, she yelled, "Percy, Grover, run! Get out of here! I'll join you too soon." Grover ran, all right. And he also took some cheeseburgers with him. But Percy didn't leave. He wasn't leaving without Annabeth. Because he knew that when he and Grover left, she was going to open her eyes. And she was going to get killed. And that can't happen. She's Annabeth. She's the smartest one on the team. She probably already has a plan to find Hades. Percy yelled to Annabeth, "Leave it, Annabeth," and told Medusa, "Hey, Medusa, look at me. My eyes are open." And his eyes were open, all right. But he ran and took the sunglasses that Medusa was wearing so that he wouldn't really see her eyes. It's like she's kind of like a basilisk. If you look into the eyes of a basilisk, you'll die. But if you look through the eyes of a basilisk, like with a magnifying glass or something, then you'll just be petrified. Except if you look directly into the eyes of Medusa or use like a magnifying glass to look at them, you're just going to be turned to stone either way. Percy quickly put on the windshield black blinding glasses and Annabeth ran out. Then Percy took out his sword and slayed some of the snakes off Medusa's head. Then one of the snakes took off the glasses, the sunglasses, and Percy quickly closed his eyes. Then he took out Riptide, he was holding it in his hand, and he tried to slay Medusa. But he said, "It's okay, open your eyes, don't worry. If you don't, then I'll have to have my little snakes to open them. But I surely wouldn't want to destroy such a handsome face." But Percy wouldn't listen. He wasn't going to listen to Medusa. He didn't want to live here for eternity, turned into stone with Grover's uncle. Annabeth quickly pushed Medusa over and she looked at her. But of course, Annabeth's eyes were closed and they both ran out. Well, that's not exactly what happened. Percy and Annabeth didn't run out. Annabeth quickly ducked because Medusa, one of the snakes that Percy had slayed off her hair, she threw it at Annabeth. She ducked. She did everything she could but kept her eyes closed. Percy and Annabeth tried to reach for the exit, but Percy knew that Medusa couldn't keep turning people to stone. While Medusa was like, she thought that they had left and she was like sobbing. And while Medusa's head was turned around, Percy slayed her head off with his eyes closed. Remember the saying, like, this is a saying which is really common, "I can do that with my eyes closed." Well, now Percy has officially could say that I I can slay a monster with my eyes closed, because he did it. They took her head, and well, Percy could like open and close her eyes, but whenever he opened them, her hair was like crazy, and whenever he closed them, she was just like normal, but her hair was still made of snakes. So Annabeth had came and said that can be used to actually petrify other monsters. So we better keep that with us. Percy said, no, we're not keeping it with us. We have to mail it to the gods. Obviously, he didn't do that. Why would he not keep that if it could petrify other monsters? That wasn't happening. But the problem about her head is that, well, you know the basilisk? You could cure the person if they were petrified. But her, if you get petrified, you're stuck like that for life. Except for monsters. So then that all happened. And while they were exiting, Grover had snuck some gold coins. And well, that was good. They also got a few clothes from... No, not from Auntie Em's Garden Emporium. They got some clothes from the gas station and paid them like 3 of those golden coins. And trust me, they're worth a lot more than you think. Well, I think that's enough for this podcast. See you next podcast, where I continue the book Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, Part 4. Thanks, listeners, for listening to this podcast. See you next time on Sai's podcast. Stay tuned and bye!